Welcome to the Essence of Health Tea Time Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Shayla Toombs Withers. As a double board certified family and obesity medicine physician with over 12 years of experience in medicine, I teach motivated individuals how to achieve their desired quality of life while preventing and reversing chronic diseases. It's tea time.
What part of your health journey is most challenging? Is it the actual effort of sticking to a plan? The cooking and the meal planning? The exercise routine? Not enough time for everything you think you need to do? Or the confusion of it all? If you said yes to any of these obstacles, then keep listening to learn how you can smash these problems just by checking your email. You check your email inbox every day already, but what if checking your inbox brought you better health instead of the stress it sometimes can bring? Well, I have news for you. You can improve your health, get a jump start on improving your health conditions, and start to feel like a better version of you just by checking your email inbox over the next 5 days when you join the free Nourish and Flourish 5-Day Challenge. You'll get health tips, actionable videos, a goal and habit tracker, and healthy recipes every day for 5 days. Better health is the best investment you'll ever make, and this is only a small investment of your time. You have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. The Nourish and Flourish 5-Day Challenge was designed to set the foundation for healthy habits for life. Say yes to yourself today and sign up now at drshayla.com/NF Challenge. I'll also place these details in the show notes. The essence of health is in you. See you in your inbox.
On today's episode of the Essence of Health Tea Time Podcast, I have a special guest, Dr. Allison Alford. Dr. Alford is originally from Pennsylvania and is a wife and mom to 2 kids. She knows what her patients live with, having lived with migraines herself since she was in medical school. She's a graduate of the University of Miami with a degree in psychobiology and graduated medical school in Philadelphia at Jefferson Medical College. She completed residency and fellowship training at Virginia Commonwealth University. Dr. Alford serves on a number of boards and committees, including the Southern Headache Society, American Headache Society, and the American Academy of Neurology. As a former child athlete, she has a passion for this line of work and opened the Pediatric Headache Center of Richmond in 2016 to provide world-class care for headache and concussion patients. She has served over 5,000 patients providing quality care and by enhancing the lives of her patients suffering from migraines. Welcome to the show, Dr. Alford. So happy to have you.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, we're going to dive in by having you just really explain to us your understanding of really what's happening in the brain during a migraine and how this even has, you know, maybe evolved with our understanding.
Yeah, sure. I know we have a very ambitious goal of what to cover today. So yeah, we'll jump right in. It is interesting. I think a lot of people think of migraines as vascular, and because it feels pulsing, it feels throbbing. And there's part of that, but that's not the driving force we realize anymore. So it's actually a sterile inflammation that happens when you have a migraine. The vessels will leak different proteins, little inflammatory markers. And so some of the newer therapies that you may see commercials for, unfortunately, right? But the CGRP drugs, those are all aimed at some of these new targets that we found that leak out of the blood vessels. And so it's a very different process than a couple decades ago that we thought was the underlying issue. There's also still a lot we don't know. We know that migraine with aura is very different than migraine without. In fact, you can actually watch an aura spread across the brain on an EEG, which most people probably don't find exciting, but I'm a dork and think that's very cool.
No, that's interesting.
So they actually have watched that in research. You can see it. But that phenomenon obviously doesn't happen when you have a migraine without aura. And so how does that change the cascade later? And we don't know all of that entirely. So there's still a lot about migraine we don't know, which leaves opening for a lot of opportunity for therapy, but it also means right now there's a lot of sort of black holes for therapy, right? Because we don't know how to make everyone better yet either.
Thanks for explaining that to us. And really, that's why we have you here, because we needed an expert to talk to us about this stuff. Because with this even lack of understanding what's come about, folks are suffering. And so, even with that, I know, as a family doc, folks can have all kinds of triggers, but what are some of those more common triggers that your patients typically have?
So I typically focus on five, the five big ones, but I tell people, it can be anything. So one of the things you should do if you're trying to figure out your triggers is keep a diary. You can do it on a piece of paper, you can do it on an app on the phone, you can do it just on a notes on your iPhone, memos, I don't care, but sort of watch for the patterns of what might be setting you off if you're not sure. But some of the big ones are definitely you want to stay hydrated. So I tell people you're drinking, trying to drink 2 to 3 liters a day. And it doesn't sound like much till you try to do it. It's a lot of water. I primarily work with children. I do see some adults, but so I know sometimes for kids, the depending on where you are in the country and what school you're at and the water bottle policy, sometimes you do have to do things for the students so they can have their water and drink all day, because I know they limit bathroom trips and things like that. So you do have to worry about that stuff, but they should be trying to drink as much as they can. If they have to drink before and after school, fine, but just stay hydrated. And it's best if it's mostly water. I mean, you can drink some Gatorade if it's the summer months and you're sweating, or kids drink milk, that count that stuff too, but it's the hydrating, it's the non-caffeinated. Because that leads us into the second piece, which is caffeine. So I tell kids, I'm not, especially my teens, I'm not taking your caffeine away. Don't
No
panic.
Starbucks.
If someone took my coffee, I'd probably be pretty angry, so don't do that. But you don't want to drink too much. So caffeine can help and hurt, and that's, I think, confuses a lot of people as well. Because Excedrin, things like medications we prescribe, like Furoset, have caffeine in them. So they can help a headache, but you drink too much or ingest too much, you're going to give yourself a headache, get that withdrawal headache. So you do have to keep a balance. So you can have some, you just don't want to overdo it. Also, it's interesting too, the more you ingest caffeine, the less helpful it is as a rescue. So if you want to use that for yourself or use Excedrin, you make sure you're not drinking too much, because it's not going to help you anymore. You also want to be physically active. Yes, it's good to be a healthy weight. That is part of it, but that's not the only reason. I even tell my in-shape athletes they need to keep working out, right? Because that endorphins you make when you're exercising will actually help your headache. So I tell people, if you have a headache that's so horrible it hurts to move, and I've had those where just the idea of rolling over in bed is too much, but no, don't go to the gym. But if it's the start of a headache, you've taken your meds and you were supposed to, go work out with a friend, go. You might actually feel better. It actually can help your headache go away. So it's important that we keep moving. Sleep is another one. If you don't sleep well or you stay up too late, you can trigger some headaches. For some people, it also is just that timing of the sleep. So there are some people that really do have to go to the bed at the same time every day and get up at the same time every day. A lot of kids don't like that idea because they want to sleep in on the weekends. And for some people, that's fine. You sort of have to test that water for yourself. So sometimes it's not the amount of sleep, it is the timing of it. And then my last big one I usually talk about every visit is stress. And I say that one for last because it's the one I can't fix very easily. I can't tell you to drink more. I can't tell you, like, that stuff doesn't work. So with stress, it could be, whether it's work stress, family stress, school tests, SOL time if you're in a state that does all that, or AP tests, things like that. Absolutely, stress is going to set them off. So I try to tell people, look, the time to figure that piece out is before you're stressed. The more times you can find a way to relax, and whatever version that is for you, make it a habit. Make it a habit before you need it. And so it can be things like meditating. It can be yoga. It can be going for a run. It doesn't have to be the same thing for everybody. That's why I can't necessarily help you, because I don't know what's going to work for you. Like, I will be honest, I am not a meditator. I tried, and I will tell you it does work. So for anyone out there listening, meditation, and it does not have to be, 20, 30 minutes of meditating. I did, because I'm a mom, right? You heard. So it's like within minutes, my brain's going, did I write that down? Oh, I got to pick that up. And yeah, I can't. I just can't. I'm an entrepreneur and a mom. My brain's going 80 miles an hour anytime. So, but I did, I committed to a couple weeks. I was like, I'm going to try this. I really want to be able to tell people. And I did, I think it was 3 minutes of guided meditation, because I couldn't just sit there. So I had to have someone, I did an app telling me to picture this, do this. And I did handle stress much better in that time frame, even when I hadn't wasn't meditating. Like the rest of that day, it did set your brain into a different zone. And the more your brain finds that zone, the easier it finds it when it needs it. So it really is something you need to practice and keep up with. But whatever it is, I had one kid that, we did have to have the conversation with him and mom, because it was his video games, right? He could play, it was mindless, he could get lost in the game. I said, all right, fine. That can be your relaxation, not a problem, but you have to put a limit on it. It has to be a game that you can stop because you need to get your schoolwork done. You can't play for hours. That's not acceptable either. But you can figure out a way to make any of that work so that you can relax and chill. And, again, when that stress comes up, like and the other thing, if people are sort of hesitant, I'm like, yoga's great. Love yoga, did yoga for years. But you can't do downward dog in the middle of math class, right? So, one of the things I think for kids that's really easy is to do deep breathing. Whether it's box breathing or whatever form we want of to slow their breath in and out, because that physiologically is going to slow their heart rate, lower their blood pressure, right? They don't even have to try, it's just your body does it. And they can do that anywhere. They can be in the middle of class, take some breaths, and then and just sort of chill themselves out, and no one knows they're doing it.
No, and the teacher will appreciate it as well.
Yeah, exactly, right? So those are kind of my big triggers. There can be food triggers. We could probably spend a whole hour on food triggers. There
But you
can
know
be.
what I love about the triggers you just mentioned, as you know, listeners of my podcast know I focus a lot on metabolic health because that's really, where my focus is. But all the triggers you mentioned are the same thing in metabolic health, the same things that you have to focus on, getting good sleep, managing your stress. Those things that are
Exactly.
those same key components, even watching your hydration intake, those are all the same necessary pieces for our metabolic health. And so what I want folks to even take from that is just, making these things a part of your routine because it's going to be helpful for so many aspects of your overall health and wellness.
Yeah, sleep is one of the things too. It when it's off, it affects so many things. Like it impacts how you handle stress, it impacts how you think and how you work. And I mean, there's so many things about that overall wellness that if you can control or work on or control what you can, it does. It helps so many things. And it is something that we can affect. And there's a lot about our health that it's genetic or whatever things that are out of our hands. These are things that we can actually work on. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like as a mom, you probably can relate to this. I learned the most about sleep after I had babies and seeing them, those toddlers, and when they're off that schedule and they haven't had sleep, they are a whole mess. They're like throwing tantrums. They can't even tell you what's wrong. Nothing. Their favorite thing is not a favorite anymore. But then if they've had that really good sleep, it's a whole new human. And as adults, we do the same version of
Yeah.
that.
We just have more frontal lobe to not scream out loud. Yeah.
So it is. It's just so important. And then that meditation piece, like you said, I think a lot of people do get it in their minds that, oh, I got to go to the Zen and I got to do a full, whole to-do 20, 30-minute thing. But you're right. You definitely don't have to do that. And I recommend the guided meditations too for my metabolic health folks because it does. As busy professionals, there's always something to do. And if we got to sit for, 15 minutes and sit there and think all we got to do, we're going to leave more anxious than actually rejuvenated.
Exactly. And I
So,
tell the same thing about physical exercise too. A lot of people think, oh, if I'm going to do yoga, I have to do 90 minutes of hot yoga. Like, no, it can be a few minutes. It can be, you can go for a short walk. Just it adds up throughout the day. And a lot of my kids, like, I don't know where, depending on where your listeners are, some of our high schools here in Richmond they're huge. I mean, so they're getting steps walking from class to class all day. I'm like, count that. Or if you have an after school job, you're on your feet, count that as exercise. It does not have to be this dedicated at the gym running
Just
marathon
active
training. Yeah,
movement is the key.
exactly. Yeah.
For sure. Awesome. All right. Now, dietary intake. You touched a little bit. You were going there, but let's dive into that a bit more. What dietary intake potentially may influence migraines that may trigger those kind of dietary foods, and then those that do the opposite of that are actually more helpful.
So I would say one thing, because I know it goes around on the internet or books or whatever, there is no migraine diet. Don't trick yourself into that. It's not, there's no one diet for everybody, right? And just those trends of people that do that. Now, is there an anti-inflammatory diet? Sure. There are definitely foods that are more pro-inflammatory, and that's going to apply to your metabolic people too, right? So it's absolutely, there are foods and there are additives like turmeric that'll help you with that, getting more greens, getting more, yes. Biggest thing I tell people is just the healthier you eat, the better off you're going to be. The less processed, the better off you're going to be. So you're going to get rid of those, the MSG, the red dyes, all that stuff that can trigger migraines because you're eating more whole natural foods. Don't make it more complicated for yourself. You know what I mean? Like if from a migraine standpoint, at least, that's all you got to worry about. And by nature, then you're going to cut down the sugar, the additives, all that stuff
Yeah,
because
those other
you're
things.
eating natural foods. But again, I work primarily with kids, so that you look at them and tell them to eat more vegetables and put the Takis down. They get a little upset with you, right? So I'm like, okay, you can have some, be a kid, because I know when you get to be an adult, you can't do any of that, and you eat, you know, you everything lasts on your hips and whatnot. So I'm like, eat some, but do it in moderation. So there really is no specific food to avoid or go for, but except to, you know, again, do anything in moderation. And I have some kids, and I wish I could remember what the additive was, but there was a donut, of all things, a special donut here. For those of you who don't know, Richmond, Virginia was this donut haven for a while. We had, I think, six different donut shops, all like
oh,
custom.
Wow.
Like, yeah. Now we're big into beer. I don't know.
Donuts and beer.
No, does not sound healthy at all, right? So anyway, there was some special donut she, but she, and it would, there was, I don't think it was a topping that would give her a migraine. And I said, you know, like, well, eat it once in a while. If you really want it, like, it was one of her favorite foods. Just be prepared with your rescue. And if your headache hits, then you treat it. No, you can't eat it all the time, but you don't have to live your life without it if you really like it that much. Like, so just balance it. But the big food additives to try to avoid are, nitrates are a big one. And these are not true for everybody. So let me say that too, because some people are like, I eat bacon and don't get a headache. Well,
yeah,
then good for you, right?
Yeah.
But, so nitrates are big. So nitrates are in, you know, bacon, hot dogs, aged cheeses, so things like Parmesan, and some lunch meats, depending on what brand you buy. So you have to watch some of that. MSG is another big one. So MSGs is more in processed foods. It's not just in certain categories of foods. It's a lot. It's just processed. It's
right.
Kind of, it gives that flavor, the umami, the whole thing. So just
yep,
for that, for some people.
And, you know, even just with the MSG, because I'm a label reader, and I've even seen
yeah,
it on the labels of some, like, spices and stuff, things that you just wouldn't have imagined that it would be in. So for folks listening, just look at the label for sure.
Yeah, it was in some salad dressing packets that I saw. Like, it's in there. Yeah, so
right,
it could be in interesting things. Because I know my kids have milk protein allergies. So I know finding milk in certain chips and in certain brands. Like, my daughter had one barbecue chip. The one brand was fine, the other brand had milk in it. And it was, yeah, you really do. Reading labels is huge. Red dyes, usually red dye 40 is the big one, and that has a lot of other behavioral implications
right,
as well.
Yep.
But I also, I have to look this up, so I apologize. I didn't think to look at it before, but whatever makes Flamin' Hot, that red cup that's not natural
okay,
in any of them,
uh-huh,
that seems to set people off.
Yeah.
So I
but, you know, and it's really no shocker, even if you don't know the exact name of it.
It's not natural.
Right. Anyone would know a flaming. Come on, folks. We know a flaming hot.
Yeah.
Not
no,
it.
But it doesn't, like, Takis and stuff doesn't seem to do it. Like, the Doritos, but the ones that are flaming hot, whatever that red is, I've had set off some people. But I've had some people, I had one gentleman, it was actually a dad of a patient, there's something about white rice. And don't ask, because I was like, that should be the blandest food ever. He couldn't eat it. It would set him off.
But it is, you know, more processed because they, you know, blanched it
true,
and all those things
yeah,
to get it to that. So maybe.
So the other big one I want to touch on, and again, we just sort of touch on is gluten. Gluten's another big one for people. And I'm not saying cut gluten out.
Right.
But if you do find that if you eat heavy gluten meals, you get a migraine, then you might want to watch it. And you can ask to be tested for celiac. There is now
yeah,
being discovered a tie between celiac and migraines.
Hmm.
So I don't, it's not so one-to-one that I don't test all my patients for celiac,
right,
but I do send the panel if we, you know, keep a diary and watch. And,
yeah,
and sometimes some people, it's not that they are truly celiac, but they're sensitive to it.
It's
so they
intolerant.
Yeah,
right,
exactly. So you have to sort of eat it in smaller amounts. Like, you still have some. And at least
yeah,
being gluten-free is much better than it used to be. But
right, yeah. And for listeners, I did a whole episode on gluten. And I'm with you. It's not that everybody needs to go gluten-free, but there, you know, just certain indications and certain ways that you, you know, may want to cut back for certain reasons. But yeah,
yeah,
they can take a listen. Yeah.
Exactly. Go back. Reference.
Right. All righty, awesome. But I like the resounding theme there really is whole unprocessed foods, because once again, that's good for our overall health anyway, the less processed things that we can consume.
If you're frustrated with your weight, taking more medications than you like to, have been told that you are at risk for the development of a chronic preventable disease, or just are not feeling in the best of health, then I'm talking to you. Why? Because you're tired of fat dieting, you know it's time for a change, and you want a sustainable plan to improve your health. If you have found yourself at this place in life, well, I have developed a program that's just for you. It's called The Essence of Health, and it's your prescription for transformation.
My goal with this program is to give you the tools needed to create sustainable lifestyle changes within a group coaching setting, along with one-to-one individualized coaching to give you a personalized path to health that's just for you. The benefits are priceless, so join today. Head on over to eohcoaching.com to learn more. The essence of health is in you. And then we talked about sleep and stress. So just what are your kind of key tips that you typically give folks for managing that sleep piece that may be something, you know, outside of the norm?
So I want to say something first that's going to be unpopular with the kids, but the parents are going to stand up and applaud. Put your phone down. Put your phone down.
And adults too.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of scrolling mindlessly because you just, at the end of the day, you have decision fatigue. Your brain is tired. You do not want to think anymore, and it's mindless. And those apps are very well designed to keep you in there. That's what that algorithm does. And again, we could spend a whole hour on where that goes for mental health, for our children. Like it's a whole nother discussion. But the blue light will wake you up just being on the phone. They're not backlit like the e-readers, but also what you're engaging in is going to keep you up. And so there are lots of studies from the psych perspective where social media absolutely impacts your mood. And what I found really fascinating in this was in the pandemic. I did a whole the psychology of happiness course because I had nothing else to do. It is fascinating to do. They did studies, so it kind of makes sense. If you go on social media and you're looking at accounts that you think they're doing better than you, right? They're on big trips or they're posting fancy cars, whatever, well, you're going to feel bad about yourself, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of natural instinct. But they also found that if you went and specifically looked at accounts that you thought you were better than, so like you were trying to make yourself feel better, they actually also made you feel worse.
Hmm.
Which is, they don't really know why, but the end result is that, look, no matter what you're doing on Facebook or social media or Instagram, yeah, or TikTok or whatever you're on, it's probably not going to make you feel better.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's gonna amp your pain up.
I like to remind people, even my own kids, like people don't intentionally put the bad stuff on social media.
Absolutely.
So that's why it's going to look like, oh, everybody's doing amazing. Everybody's living this lavish life. That's because they didn't put the other stuff.
Yeah, they're not putting the laundry they folded
in. Right. Exactly.
The sandwich they had at lunch. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So those things, again, if you do it right before bed, you're going to have a hard time winding down. The same is true of TV. And I know there's a lot of, you probably hear this too, Amanda, as in, I need the TV, I need the noise to go to sleep. No, you don't.
No.
You can do white noise. You can do something else that's not engaging. Because even if it's a show you've watched, you're listening to the conversation, you're processing the show, you're thinking about, like, I'm a huge Golden Girls fan. Anyone who knows me, I'm going to have to think every Golden Girls collectible on the planet. I can quote most of the episodes. If I have it on, I'm still listening to it. Like, I know what joke is coming. I know you're not relaxing. If you actually talk to sleep experts, they will tell you about 2 hours before bed, you should be turning all that stuff down. I don't know a single person's going to do that. Like, you're supposed to turn lights down in the house 2 hours before. Like, our lives are just too packed. I tell people, look, I can be realistic. Let's do a half an hour, 45 minutes. Can I get an hour before bed? You know, like, to just start turning all those electronics off. I am guilty of that, too. This lecture goes as much to me as to everybody else.
Yeah.
But those kind of things will help you fall asleep easier. And to keep in mind that it's not instant. Sleep is a habit. So everything you do around going to bed is a routine. So you want to keep that routine as consistent as possible. But when you change it, you're not going to fall asleep instantly the next night because you turned your phone off. It's not going to happen. Don't give up. Some people are like, well, I turned it off and I didn't fall asleep. But because it's not going to be that fast. So give yourself some time to get used to that new routine and a new way to put yourself to sleep.
Smells tend to trigger, because one thing I like to do is like use like lavender,
absolutely.
Linen spray. Do those trigger migraines though for some people?
It depends on the person. Some they do. I have some patients that actually use peppermint oil, essential oil, to break their headache, and they'll put it on their temples and things like that, and actually the headache go away. So for some people that's fine. Some people one scent is okay. For some people peppermint might be all right, but the lavender bothers them. You have to sort of try for yourself. Sometimes when I'm I love Yankee candles, scented, all kinds of stuff. But if I'm having a migraine, I can't, it's too much. People, it's the amount, like they could handle one candle, but they're not going to go into the store where there's 60 different flavors at any given time.
Right.
So yeah, so it's one of those things. I'm not against using it. You just have to sort of try for yourself if it bothers you or not. And then, the stress, getting good night's sleep is going to help your stress. And we sort of talked about relaxation, everything with stress before. So just trying to work on that. It's just all of those are habits and skills that you have to work on, just like any other, whether it's hitting a baseball or hitting a free throw or, throwing a touchdown. It's all stuff you have to work on and get better at. This is the same. It's the same skills, the same.
For sure. And then, even just kind of going back a little bit to those environmental factors, what are some of those other kind of common environmental factors that you find may contribute to
Yeah.
migraines for folks?
So try to keep light out of your room as much as you can. I mean, some people recommend actually go get blackout curtains. I don't go that far because I don't want to make people spend money if they, don't have it. Yeah, if you have blackout curtains, great. At least try to, keep lights out, keep it as dark as you can. And the other big one to me is keep it cool. If your room is hot, you're not going to sleep as well. Whether it's having a ceiling fan on or just a fan in general or just, adjusting. A lot of times we have thermostats now you can program so at night it drops so that you're not cooling your house that much all day. Stuff like that will help with the environment. There's lots of discussion about pets in your bed. I'm gonna try to skip that one because I'm guilty that both my goldens sleep in my bed. And no, I don't sleep as well because they're at my feet and I'm trying to dodge cats all over. So you really, if you really want to be diligent, put your pets on the floor in their own little bed
Does the
somewhere.
pet dander
Yeah.
trigger for some people?
It depends on if you're allergic to it or not. Yeah. I mean, if obviously if you are sensitive to that and it's in your bed and it's in your face, like I know
Those,
my
yeah,
daughter
gonna be.
is sensitive to the dog fur, so we don't let the dog in her room usually. But yes, then because it's going to cause inflammation. So to that point, and I'm going to take a little side trip for a second because I got the window. Because that same idea with sinuses, a lot of people can say, "Oh, I've had sinus headaches." That's been, and no, you've had migraines. It doesn't mean your sinuses aren't setting off your migraines. They are two different things. And so a lot of times people with allergies, they're going to have that inflammation. So the same thing is true of the dander or whatever. And that's going to irritate all these nerves. So all the nerves in your head, face, and neck are what control that migraine flow. And so if you are irritating that nerve, whether it's through dental work or allergies or whatever, that can then set off headaches. So you do want to be careful if you do have allergies. You can have sinus headaches, yes, but they can also set off your migraines and you can be having both. So you want to be, it's not that, oh, I treated my sinuses, so it must be something else. No, they still can be connected. It's still important to treat both of those. Yeah.
I'm glad you touched on that. Yeah, for sure.
Because I
Yeah,
get that question all the time. Yeah.
and what are some of the non-pharmacological? I know you're a doctor and you're going to be amazing at prescribing medications, but what are some of those things outside of medications that folks can do for treatment?
Absolutely. And so, yeah, I'm a pediatrician at heart. I'm a child neurologist and then did headache specialist. So I'm all about prevention. I totally love that angle. So I'm a little different than some neurologists. I'm like, no, if we can prevent all this, and that's why we've been talking about sleep and exercise, and you can do all that and keep them from happening, great. So all of that stuff is definitely natural. Everything we've talked about and controlling those triggers. But you can take things like magnesium. Is nice, and that actually works for a fair number of people. I know it seems like, oh, I'm just taking a vitamin or I guess a mineral technically, right? But it does work. But it's still, I still tell people it has side effects. So herbal stuff can still have side effects. So magnesium can upset your stomach. So you do want to be careful with that. And a lot of people will ask me too, well, what about the different magnesiums? Here's the different magnesium scoop. It doesn't matter which magnesium from a headache perspective. Doesn't matter. They're all going to work. They're all going to absorb the magnesium. And that's ultimately what's going to help. That side group you're asking about, so the magnesium sulfide, the magnesium oxide, citrate,
Oxide.
glycinate, whatever, that's more relative to the side effect of what you're going to get when you take it. So you may have touched upon this in another thing too, because again, the magnesium
No, I
is
hadn't, but I'm glad you
great.
are because that was going to be my next
So
question.
many, it's good for so many things. Oh my God, and we do not ingest enough magnesium. It's in greens, it's in a lot of stuff that the American diet does not eat enough of. So yes, supplement for many things. So my, if you really want to, I tell people, if you want to be an overachiever, go for magnesium glycinate. That's going to be absorbed the best, and it's going to cause the least amount of side effects. But at least around here, what I tell people, it's hard to find it in the store, so usually you're going to have to order it. But so many people have Amazon Prime or with quick delivery, you just get it delivered. If you want sort of middle of the road, magnesium oxide is usually easily found in stores, and it's okay. It's absorbed pretty well. It can cause side effects, but it's better. If you have someone who's already on the constipated train, then I would do magnesium citrate because then you're going to kill two birds with one stone. So you're going to treat the constipation and the headaches at the same time. But if you have a sensitive stomach, stay away from magnesium citrate. That's what's in Phillips. That's what's in a bunch of other stuff. So that's kind of the lowdown on magnesium. It does come. I also warn people the pills are huge. They are horse pills. They're big. So if you have a younger patient or someone who's just not great at swallowing pills, you're not going to want to buy magnesium as a pill. There are gummies. I know dentists hate that, but brush your teeth. You'll be fine. Do it as a gummy.
Yeah,
There is.
the sugar folks.
Exactly. So, okay, it's not great, but it's better to get it in. There are powders you can drink as well on the market. And I think the one is like raspberry lemonade flavored. So they're not bad. So it just depends on whether you want to drink that or not, but you can do it that way as well.
I have some folks who actually do better with those than the pills, like you said, because of that.
And I will
And
tell
magnesium's
you,
good for sleep too, folks. So while
I
you're
was going to say,
listening.
yes, it does help you fall asleep. It's not going to knock you out like a melatonin, but it's sort of calming. So if you have someone, especially with anxiety, where their brain is racing at night, that's why they can't get to sleep. Magnesium is great because it calms that down. They're also, I have to say, I was very skeptical when this came up to me with a patient. They asked about doing topical magnesium. And so I was like, I'm not sure that's going to absorb enough. Like I just, and no one's studying a vitamin, so we don't really know. So they had a friend who had told them about it, and she actually got diarrhea from using it. And I said, well, then it must be
Right, it
absorbing.
must absorb, right, huh?
So, okay. And the kid, I think he was 6 or 7, so he was little. And they were trying, and he might have had a gelatin issue, and that's why he couldn't take the gummy. So you have to be mindful of that too. So they were doing it topically, and it actually helped him. So you can use it that way. It's again a little more inaccurate because you're not really dosing it the same way. But in certain situations, if that's the best way you can get it in, then you can do it as a topical cream too. That is an option. So I have
Interesting.
to say, I was skeptical. I didn't think it would work, but it did. It actually worked
All
well
right.
for him.
All right. Wonderful. Good to know. And so what are just those any other practical steps just to really get people started noticing their triggers and even just started working with their doctor or someone like you with your coaching to just get on a effective plan? What would you kind of say then?
So one of the first things, especially if you have headaches often, is keep a diary, because you will be surprised at the amount of times it all runs together. Either you're having more headaches than you realize, or you're oh no, I'm not having them as often, but God, they're really worse when they have, like, it just helps put things into perspective. You don't have to do it forever. I typically do it for, depending on how often your headaches are, a month or two, just to give yourself a snapshot before you go in, because that way you can really tell the doctor, hey, I'm having them twice a week. I'm having them, once a month, whatever. Also, having it written down is going to help you look at that pattern. So it'll help you look at triggers. Oh, hey, every time there's a thunderstorm, I get a headache. It could be the weather front and the barometric pressure coming through. Okay, so no, I can't control that. I can't change that. But at least I know I can be prepared. Hey, there's a big hurricane coming up the coast here. Let me make sure I have my rescue refilled and I'm prepared. Or yeah, every time I eat pepperoni on Pizza Friday, I get a migraine. Well, then stop eating the pepperoni. Like sometimes it's easy if you can see that pattern, it makes things a lot easier. But also going into that first visit with a particularly if you can a headache specialist, if you have one in your area, you're gonna hit the ground running much better if they can see all that. And keep it because to be honest with you, we can submit that to insurance if we need to justify headache numbers. Like for Botox, for example, we can actually submit a patient diary of like, here's the actual headache. So sometimes keeping it also helps with that kind of stuff.
That's good to know. I don't think I've ever known that tip for folks.
Botox is a whole nother animal too. But and so I so just and I think you said this in the beginning, but yeah, I am a headache specialist. I am a child neurologist. Then I did extra training, so I'm actually double boarded. But headache specialists, the most of us are neurologists, but they can be family medicine. They can be sometimes dentists do the certification. ENTs can do it. So we do come from different perspectives. Most of us are neurologists or like primary care somewhere that do it. And not that neurologists can't handle headaches, but you talk to someone who's battled with migraines for a while, they'll tell you a headache specialist is we're just because we do this is all I do all day. I do headaches and concussions, and so I'm, these are the conferences I go to. These are the articles I read, and so it is a little different and a little better understanding when we're more detailed and when we're in the weeds as it is. And so if you can find a headache specialist in your area, take your diary and do that. I am, again, I come from a peds background, so I very much come at it from a physician standpoint of, yeah, let's keep the medicines as low as we can. Yes, they're there. If we need them, that's why we created them, right? That's there. But if we can do If we really can focus on, if you're not sleeping, you're not exercising, you're not in it, let's focus on that for, a month or whatever. And maybe do a supplement and do, so we talked about magnesium. You can do riboflavin as well. Riboflavin has some evidence. I find that riboflavin by itself is hard to find. So a lot of times I tell people just take a B complex. You're probably short on the other Bs as well, so why not? You can do CoQ10 is another supplement you can get over the counter that helps. It has less evidence, but it does help some. And then I have some people that actually do things like Feverfew. Butterbur, if you can find the right one, you have to be careful with butterbur. It had some issues a couple years ago with elevating liver enzymes. So it's not as recommended, but depending on where you find it. But Feverfew does have some evidence. And so some of those things can help you. And so you can supplement with that, work on the triggers, and then you come back in, a month, 6 weeks. If we're not better, then yeah, okay, we go on meds. But it's a lot of that. It's that lifestyle. It's that getting things in order. And that's what you were referencing. I do have a coaching program we launched this summer aimed at specifically that. It's called Mastering Migraine. And so it really is aimed at, and I'm a certified nutrition coach, so technically I can coach any nutrition. That was part of the basis, but I'm aiming at mostly migraine patients to try to help them, be an accountable partner to say, hey, let's make reasonable goals that are going to fit into your lifestyle, because you're not going to change all five of those trigger behaviors at once.
Right.
You're going to set yourself up for failure. And that's true with anything to do with metabolic health
Yeah,
too.
exactly, for sure.
You got to do small goals and make stuff that's realistic that you can keep up with. So something that, if you have a family, like whatever dietary changes you're making, that the whole family can eat, because you don't want to be cooking a meal for yourself, then a meal for your kids. And, like, we don't have the time for that.
No.
So to sort of do that as a coach and say, hey, I'm here to help you figure that out. Someone from the outside to look in and say, here's how this works. Let's make this work for you, and then hold you accountable over it. And so that's, to me, that's a huge part of making your headaches better. But then I also like, for me, no, coaching's not medical, but I never, I mean, you're like, as a mom and a friend, you never take your doctor hat off. It's always there. We can't.
Right.
It's sewn on, right? So I can help patients too, if you don't have a headache specialist in your area, to say, hey, here's how, ask your doctor about this, or here's the conversation about this.
Right.
Maybe it is
And
time to go
that's
with.
the great part of having a physician as a coach, though, because you also are going to know what's safe, what's not safe.
Yeah.
You're not like the
Don't mix
random
this
social
herb and
media
that, yeah.
person who's just going to, tell you the latest fad when it
Yeah.
may not be the most helpful thing, because you
Exactly.
also have that, that background
Yeah.
scientific knowledge.
Yeah. So it is, it really does. It comes down to just a lot of simple behaviors, but in our day-to-day lives, they're really hard to follow through on, I guess is the way to put it. It's things like, yeah, okay, I drink more water. That's not rocket science, but it's hard to make yourself do. You get busy, you forget, you do. Like, I'm not gonna lie, behind the scenes here, because I left at my big bottle at home, so I grabbed one from our fridge in our infusion bar. I'm like, okay, so I'm drinking while I'm working. And so it's easy to forget, or it's easy, like, you get tired. I don't want to work out today. But go do 10 minutes. You'll find that once you start, you're probably gonna want to keep going. Right? So just start. And if you don't, after 10 minutes, you're like, hey, you know what? I'm tired. I really just, then your body's telling you it's been a long day. You
Enough.
did some. Be grateful. Be glad you did your stuff. You did your duty. Now go rest. Let your body need, take what it needs.
Right.
But it's about balancing all that. And no, it's not hard. It's not revolutionary. It's hard mentally for us to get that focus to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a great, tips just to leave us on and wrap up for. So thank you so much, Dr.
Yeah.
Albert, for even just joining the show. Now, before you go, how can my listeners connect with you?
Absolutely. So it depends what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So yeah, as a typical entrepreneur, I have about six different lines. So because I'm also a Zumba instructor, so yeah, I got all kinds of social media. So you can find me
I'm gonna
lots
bring
of
you back about that Zumba.
places. Yeah. Oh, I love it. If I weren't old, if I weren't as old as I am, and my body could handle doing a little Zumba all week, I would probably walk away from medicine and do Zumba. It is the best community. It's so much fun if you've never done it. And I feel like it's
I
not a
love
dance. I'm a dancer.
Zumba.
I was a college level softball player. Like, yeah, no, but it's so much fun. Yes, and being an instructor is even better to watch the just this community come together. And it's so, like, last night I taught last night and to a bunch of my regulars, and we all just, it was, everyone was having a bad day. And I was like, all right, that's it. The music's starting. We're gonna leave the world outside and chill. Oh my God, it was amazing. And everyone left in a good mood, and we all, it was stress relief, and yeah. So anyway, so if from a headache standpoint, just especially people in the Virginia area or nearby states, if you want to travel in, because I know, again, there's not a lot of headache specialists in the country, so we're kind of hard to find. Like I said, I do see some adults. We're on at PHCR for you. So that's our handle across Facebook, Instagram. We are on X. I always still want to call it Twitter. We are on X. I don't do a lot on the X, but mostly you're going to connect with me on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or Facebook. So that's for the headache stuff. And then if you are looking at, we do a lot of our wellness, the coaching. Again, if you're in the area, we do vitamin infusions. We do migraine cocktails in-house. So you don't have to go to the ER. So we do offer that. It's one of the things I really love when I open my own practice that I could do for headache patients. Because the last place you want to be with a headache is the ER.
Right.
It's loud, it's bright. They don't want you there because they got bigger emergencies, right? Mm-hmm. So we actually do have an infusion bar that my patients usually come into, but we actually can infuse for other people. It's going to be cheaper for you, too, to do it in the office. So that's through Nourish, which is our wellness bar, and that's Nourish IV for you. And that's the handle across Facebook and Instagram as well. And then the coaching program is run under Nourish. So if you're looking for the Mastering Migraine, it does have a Facebook group, but it's currently set as a private group because it's going to be a support group for people after they go through the program. But our website for all of that is still under, it's pediatricheadachecenter.com. So especially if you are someone in Virginia looking to become a patient, our new patient packet, everything is on there. Our fax and phone for all that stuff's on there. Nourish has its own tab on that website. And then the Mastering Migraine has its own tab. So everything's on that website if you're going that
way. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'll be sure to put that in the show notes for our listeners so you can definitely see Dr. Alford and stop suffering through those migraines. So, for sure. All right.
This
well,
is
thank
so
you
much
so
fun.
Much.
And this, I'm so glad to do this because these are stuff that just, it's simple things, but for metabolic, for headaches, for just overall wellness, stuff that makes such a huge difference in your life to just, again, eat well, sleep well, move. And just nourish our body. It's just huge. And I'm so glad to get to share that because I think people, we do want to just, you know, pop a pill sometimes. And
right, a quick fix.
Answer,
sometimes,
so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me today on the Essence of Health Tea Time podcast. Click the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform so that you never miss a moment of the Essence of Health Tea Time podcast. Check out the show notes to obtain your free tips for healthy living guide to get you started on your health and wellness path. Follow me on social media at Essence of Health Wellness Clinic on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and at dr.tw@eohwc on TikTok. Interested in becoming a member of the Essence of Health Coaching Program? Well, head on over to www.eohcoaching.com. The essence of health is in you.